is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. You're tuned in to the Kenai Conversation. I'm your host, Sabine Pooks. A lot of schools in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District are in the borough's cities, connected to most of the peninsula through the road system. But many others are more remote, accessible only by plane or boat, and it can be hard for students in those communities to access the same opportunities as others. Project GRAD is a national initiative to close that opportunity gap and get more students in rural communities through high school and beyond. The local branch of Project GRAD partners with the district, local nonprofits, and other entities to bring resources and programming to students in 9 of the most isolated Kenai Peninsula schools. Under that umbrella is the Alaska Native Education Program, which provides support to Alaska Native students in Nanwalek, Port Graham, Tyonik, and Inilchik, as well as an after-school program with several schools in small peninsula villages and Russian Old Believer communities. Jane Beck is the executive director of Project GRAD Kenai Peninsula, based in Homer. She spoke with us on Zoom for Kenai Conversation this week, about a month after the school district's graduation. She was joined by Kenny Dayer, a site coordinator with the Alaska Native Education Program, and Shelley Wersfold, an academic after-school coach for Project GRAD. I'd love to hear a bit about each of your jobs. I know you all have different roles at the organization, but first, before we do any of that, Jane, can you say kind of generally what Project GRAD is and what it stands for? Because it's an acronym.
Yeah, sure. We are Project GRAD Kenai Peninsula, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit. And we've been here operating in Homer since 2003. And our main purpose and goals are to work with in partnership with the district, the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and other partners to bring supplemental education services and activities and events to those smaller schools in the more isolated communities to support them in their learning and also to support the teachers and the communities.
What does GRAD stand for in Project GRAD?
It stands for Graduation Really Achieves Dreams.
Nice.
Yep.
So which schools do you guys work with and how many are you working with at this point?
We're currently working with 9 schools. We're working out at the head of the bay in Homer and Kachmak Silo, Vaznesenka, Razdolna, the Russian Old Believer schools, Nikolaevsk, Chapman, Nanilchik, and then across the bay to the fly-in schools of Port Graham and Nanwalek, and also up to Tyonik.
Got it.
You get them all?
Cover a lot of ground. So I know there are a couple different parts to the program and a couple different things that you guys kind of tackle, and I know each of you kind of covers a different sphere. So Shelley, what is kind of your role with the organization and which part of the program kind of do you focus on?
So I work through the 21st Century Grant, which provides me, I'm an academic after school coach. My focus with students is STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And my school specifically is Nikolaevsk, but I've been to all of the schools that are served through the 21st Century Grant, and STEAM Team is what we call it. It's structured around health and wellness. We do some mindful activities, snack, outside activity time, and then our second portion of the time is focused on that hands-on learning part.
Gotcha. Kenny, what about you? What is your role and who do you kind of work with the program?
Oh, I've got a really awesome role with Project GRAD. I've got the privilege of kind of working, residing, and recreating in Denaina and Tsukpiak lands. And I am the site coordinator for the Alaska Native Education Program. And Jane ran through all the schools, but I focus primarily on the 4 Alaska Native sites, which is Port Graham, Nanwalek, Nanilchik, and Tyonik. And yeah, we've got a great program. It supports K-12 students as well as students who recently graduated with post-secondary support. So we come at it with three big kind of prongs. We have a big counseling side of things, social-emotional. Then we have a big academic support component as well as that post-secondary support component. And as site coordinator, I get to dabble in a lot of the fun things going on in all three areas. And with my past roles with Project Grad, I seem to gravitate a little bit towards the middle and high school and recent grads, kind of heavier on the post-secondary side of things, supporting them with plans after they graduate, whether it be kind of a supportive role in their communities, at the village, or maybe a college-bound path or a vocational kind of ambition or somewhere in between.
Very cool. So how did Project Grad kind of get started? Jane, you mentioned it started in 2003. What was kind of the galvanizing force behind that?
Yeah, it's got kind of an interesting history. Project Grad USA was developed way back in maybe 2002. And there was a gentleman by the name of Jim Kettleson who was working in Houston. And he was recognizing that from his big building downtown Houston, he was looking and recognizing all of the underserved communities in the city. It was more urban concerns. And so he developed Project Grad USA, which kind of ended up evolving into, I think at one point there were 14 or 15 different Project Grad sites from LA to Houston, Akron, Newark, New Jersey, Nashville, all over the country. And the goals were they were really literacy based and hands-on math based and some cooperative disciplines, more behavioral focuses. It's changed a lot since then. But anyway, in 2003, Ted Stevens got some folks together from the school district and they went down to Houston and learned more about the program and decided that it would be interesting and a good idea to try this in a more rural setting. So that's when Project Grad Kenai Peninsula was born.
So, of course, you guys work with kids at schools in very, very remote places. I imagine that's kind of logistically challenging. How do you coordinate with those schools? And when you do in-person programming, where do you tend to do that? And how does that tend to work? Maybe, Kenny, do you want to talk about that one?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, yeah, it's certainly remote. So three of the four sites that I support are only accessible by small airplane. And so this past year was really weird, but I think kind of the trend might be to just focus on what worked and kind of silver linings here. So one remedy for the remoteness was how fortunate we were to have good connectivity and internet access. So we did a lot of Zooming and we had a lot of support from the school staffs to have access during the school day. And we had some great boots on the ground, some really great, what were we calling them? The Project Grad liaisons to do some of the heavy lifting and some of the getting us connected with some of the students. And I think that's going to continue, you know, when we may not have the weather to fly in or you know, stay on our schedules, because, you know, South Central Alaska weather is pretty wacky and not too conducive to flying on a good schedule in a little Cessna 206. So, and beyond that, we did a lot of packaging up of kits. We supported students during the school day and beyond with after school STEM activities. And Shelly's also got great STEM stuff to report out on, I'm sure. But yeah, so once we get back in the schools, we operate during the school day, doing academic coaching and supporting them with whatever coursework they may have. And we also meet one-on-one to talk post-secondary supports and career and college planning. And anyone that knows me knows that I definitely don't shut it down at 3:30 at the school bell. I really enjoy being in those villages and getting to hang out with the kids, and I'll never say no to going out fishing and, you know, Second Lake behind Tyonic, or going up for a walk behind Nanwalek and Fort Graham. And actually a lot of the cool conversations around post-secondary plans happen during those times too.
What are some of kind of the unique challenges that kids and families in these villages and these really remote communities face when it comes to figuring out their post-secondary plans? Like, kind of why is this added layer of support so important for kids in these communities?
Right. I bet that's to me a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
That's kind of my wheelhouse a bit. I think, like you just mentioned, how remote these villages are. You know, they're remote and they're not. I mean, what, Nanwalek and Fort Graham, or someone's going to correct me on this, like 30 or so miles, air miles down Ketchumak Bay at the corner of the lower inlet, which isn't necessarily that far. But the idea to become, I don't know, a professional welder or somebody in fisheries management, it's just really far away. And I think a lot of the support that Project Grad can provide is breaking down the steps into more manageable plans and make that ambition not so far away. In this past year, I'm kind of chalking up as a funky one that we just got to move on from, but a lot of good stuff did happen. But I'm really looking forward to continuing what we more traditionally do, which is offsite college visits. And we do exploration institutes and a series of institutes that get them out of their villages and mingling with other students and professionals in those industries that they have ideas of working with. And I think that that's where the support lies, is breaking down that step into less intimidating plans.
In terms of...
Oh, I'm sorry. Jane's got Jane. Something to say, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted... Thanks, Kenny. That's good. I just wanted to piggyback on that in response to your question about what are some of the challenges. I think it's worth noting that a lot of the students that we work with are first generation, like their first generation going to any kind of post-secondary training. So those processes that Kenny was talking about are very unfamiliar. I mean, they're difficult for people who have done them before. I've got kids and there's a lot to that process of filling out applications, searching for scholarships and financial support. So it's really, like Kenny said, it's really a privilege to be able to work with those students and their parents and their families to help them plan out something that fits with their values and their cultural traditions and their goals. And also the exposure when we're full up and running full time and in this on campus and on site, Kenny and some of our other staff will take students so that they can see firsthand AvTech. They can see APU, UAA, and even up to Fairbanks, the Kenai Peninsula College here on the peninsula. Some of these things seem like they're right here in our backyard, but they really, you've got to put that effort in to actually go visit them and see them firsthand.
And I'm sure being able to like visualize these places and kind of meet people who are attending or meet people who've been through that process it brings it into kind of a more tangible space, right? Makes it kind of more seem more kind of in the realm of possibility or more
yeah,
closely.
And those transitions are kind of off-putting. You've got to keep your connections alive with your home village. You've got to establish new, what we refer to as webs of support. You know, who are the people and the resources that are available to you so that you can be successful?
I think Jane nailed on that one too. That's the support that we provide really well to it. So back to that challenge question. One challenge is that these students come from really super supportive, great community, family-centric villages, and they have lots of support and love and care and adults in those spots. And as Jane said, when they take off to maybe pursue that post-secondary plan with AvTech, APU, UAA, wherever, another support that we provide is making sure that they've got a safe, supportive network around them.
I was going to ask about that because I know a lot of kids who go to school far away from home, once they get there, once they figured out how they're going to pay for it and how they're going to attend, a challenge is then feeling supported and feeling comfortable in that space. So it sounds like following up with kids once they've kind of made it to that next step is probably a pretty important thing to do. So Shelley, what is your job like? Tell us a little bit about kind of these after-school programs, and also what is the 21st Century Community Learning Program?
Okay, well, what I do is, again, I'll have to kind of compete here with Kenny. I think I have the better job. I get to spend after-school time with kids that and helping them see the positive choices they can make outside of school. And I'm a retired school teacher, so I have that benefit of knowing what that's like, you know, in the school day and then coming off of that after school. So it's been a lot of fun. It's challenging because we work with such a wide range of students too, grades 3 through 8. And sometimes that is the challenge of making having activities being provided that is interesting and relevant to everyone that comes. But it also keeps us on our toes and very creative. As far as the 21st Century Grant, I think that I'm going to yield to Jane to give a little bit more information on that, just so that I don't give misinformation. But specifically what I do is I get to go have fun with kids and bring them hands-on learning, get to talk with them about problem solving, feelings and emotions. I get to, it's just the best of the best, really. When I get to be with them, they know that this is our safe space. They know that this is a different entity than their classroom. So I get a different perspective, which, as again, as a retired school teacher, that's been incredibly rewarding for me as well. So
yeah, how is it different for you from teaching kids during the school day? How does it differ from that kind of school day learning model?
Yeah, it's a really night and day, just because, you know, when you're a school teacher, especially general education, elementary, you're in charge of everything and everyone. Whereas my job now is more in the support capacity. So I get to support the teachers in their daily lessons by providing ideas and activities and materials if they needed it. I'm supportive to the families that I work with in a very different way than I ever was as a teacher. And as far as the students, I'm not seen in that way. I mean, I'm an authority for sure, but it's just a different relationship that they have with me, probably due to just the nature of our program. It's just not in that school setting type of format. We get to offer the kids way different hands-on activities than they would normally be able to do in a classroom setting. And even for me as a teacher, I wouldn't be able to either afford to provide those activities with them or carve out that time in a day when there's so many other expectations on you. So the schools with the 21st Century Grant are super lucky to be able to have this component of their day. And it's really grown. I'm actually relatively new to Project Grad. I retired in 2019. In May of 2019, and I lasted 3 months and then came working for Project Grad. So it's still relatively new to me, but I can't wait to continue on working and can't wait, as Kenny said, to get back to our on-site, what we traditionally do with kids.
Gotcha. And so how does it work in terms of going to these different schools? Like, do you kind of have a schedule where you go to one school one time, or are you there for extended periods of time? How does that work?
So there's multiple coaches. You're speaking to Kenny and myself today, but we work with a great team of people. And so we try really hard to schedule it so that there's no one coach at a school at the same time as another coach, so that we can support one another. But yes, we create a schedule. It's usually 2 times a week after school for 2 hours each time. I'm lucky I'm on the road system, so I can drive right up to the school and unpack my car. But Kenny and some of the other coaches have had more challenges with their travels on four-wheelers and planes and et cetera. But we bring all the activities and materials to the school. We have a prep time before we are there to set things up and work with the kids for 2 hours and hopefully get to see many of their families if they come and pick up their children or whatnot. We provide those types of activities, also family nights and activities to bring in the family so they can see what we're doing after school with their children and hopefully inspire some STEM at home, which I think has really been one of the silver linings from COVID this year is being able to really connect with the families because it would normally just be me and the kids. And now it was me, the kids, and their families. So I thought it was very rewarding, even though it was a very challenging year. I found a lot of good things in it.
Have you guys kind of expanded the schools in your orbit? Like, what's kind of changed since the beginning of the program? Maybe, Jane, you want to take this one?
We've been involved with 8 of the schools pretty much since the beginning. The most recent addition to our services has been Chapman in Anchor Point. And so we were able to include them on our on the state grant that's run through the Department of Health and Social Services. Positive is a really big mouthful. State of Alaska, Department of Health and Social Services, Positive Youth Development After School Program. and that program is also targets students, grades 5 through 8. And Chapman, we were able to include in that grant proposal, and we were successful in being awarded a 3-year grant there. So we haven't really changed our schools so much. We've changed the way we serve those schools over time, responding to funding and, most importantly, responding to community needs, but also what funding sources were available. And
When we're talking about kind of the metrics that Project Grad uses to kind of gauge the success of its programming and the kids who are kind of involved in these programs, are we looking at graduation rates? Are the graduation rates of kids in these villages typically lower than those of kids in Kenai and Soldotna, for example?
Yeah, and I think you'll see that if you look at some of the communities, indigenous communities throughout the country, rural locations across the country, you'll find that achievement gap, and especially if there's a socioeconomic component to the demographics. So we are really focused on closing that achievement gap and supporting those students. So again, those students in these isolated communities don't have the same access to extracurricular programming or tutoring or clubs, school clubs, and even peer connections, because they're going to school with the same you know, lots of times they're family members and cousins and community members. They don't. So we really try to provide opportunities where they can get out of their community. They can meet other peers from other schools and play and explore and get exposed to new people mostly and build new relationships. Did I answer that question?
Absolutely. Kenny, something I wanted to ask you about is, I imagine it's kind of difficult coming into a community where maybe you haven't spent much time before or where culturally maybe you're kind of coming from a different place. How do you kind of foster trust and create relationships with people and kind of meet them where they are when you're kind of new to a certain area or village?
Yeah, that's a great question and one that deserves a lot of discussion. And I'm still trying to explore that myself for sure. But I think I go in there just embracing the idea that I'm a visitor and feeling incredibly appreciative to be welcomed in. And I think it's been fortunate that I've had a connection or building a relationship up with these four sites for like 7 or 8 years now. My first full-time night in Alaska was chaperoning a bunch of Project Grad kids who are now well beyond high school. This was back in 2013. And as far as fostering that connection, I think when you're genuinely really caring about the youth and, struggling when they're having challenges and celebrating when they have big achievements to celebrate, I think that's just an easy kind of way to mosey in, you know, as long as you do it very respectfully and always acknowledge that you are a visitor. I mean, I've been living here for nine or so years now, and I kind of just consider it kind of a dream vacation of a stay up here to have these connections with these villages. And maybe I don't say enough how much I appreciate working there, but I genuinely do. And I want to make that even more known than I have. So that's how I go about it. I'm a visitor, and I'm celebrating when there is something to celebrate, and I'm working out the challenges of the youth. And I hope to be gaining the trust of those families that are supporting those youths along the way.
Do you work a lot with the teachers and administrators at the schools in these areas?
Yes, we do. These are very small schools, so you're sharing some small building spaces at times, and you know, some of the teacher housing is just across the street, so it's hard not to be kind of overlapping a lot of these school staffs and administrators. And we've been in a great way to have a lot of retention in some of these four sites, and we've been developing relationships with these school staffs for years in some cases, and for the incoming new ones, we're a constant in these villages. So they depend on us. I think I could say that they depend on us to maybe give some suggestions on instructions and how to go ahead and make some stronger connections with the villages that they're coming into.
When do you start kind of exploring the post high school process with someone? Like, at what age is that kind of introduced to kids typically?
Yeah. Middle school, we start to have conversations. We have something called an individual student plan, which really just kicks off a discussion that's always ongoing and modified along their high school career. So we'll ask about their vision of their future self. And oftentimes we're seeing these middle schoolers coming up through the ranks, and we kind of have the gist of their interests and their strengths and what they want to do beyond high school and through high school. So we're in a very lucky position to kind of have our finger in the pulse of these strengths and the interests of these students. But we do have more formal kind of discussions around exactly that. What do you see for your life beyond high school, and what are those steps along the way to get you from being a 8th, 9th, 10th grader to rocking it in that profession?
Shelley, of course, you were talking about extracurriculars and working with kids after school. What's kind of the importance, or what is being involved in extracurriculars kind of do for students? What is so important kind of about having that outlet for kids after school outside of the classroom?
Well, as we mentioned, the remoteness of where we're going with our programs, there's not like a swim club, right? And there's not the nature walks that you can do here. And if you live in town, there isn't that opportunity. So again, we're bringing an opportunity to their school, to their community. And oftentimes we'll have the parents join us for those activities as well, which is wonderful, because again, that's part of our, at least my objective anyway, is to incorporate that into their life. This is a lifestyle, you know, these are right around here. So after school programming, for me, I mean, there's just so many things that it offers for the students, but I do see that is really beneficial helping them to see what they can be doing with a hobby or some interest, again, still thinking about that future career perhaps. And tinkering does that. Kids get to tinker and build things and fail and succeed and fail and succeed. And that's so much about the growth mindset. So I think for me personally, it's really helping them to see that, you know, things are going to be hard, things are going to be challenging, obstacles will come, but you have what it takes to get through that, over that, and onward. So it's really a resilience building, community building. I can't say enough about it. And it's open to everyone. That's another great thing. It's everyone can come. There's, you know, if you're not good at soccer, you know, you can't really feel like you're successful on a soccer team, but you know, STEAM team, you're welcome. And you come and have a good time and be with kids. And it's never a closed door.
Yeah, another great thing about the after school component to our work is to return to the idea of building trusting and caring relationships between adults and kids. And the whole Project Grad staff, everybody who works with those kids, I just have to take a moment to brag a little bit about them, because they really authentically and genuinely connect. I mean, those kids love our staff. And when they step onto the campus, they come out with smiles and ready to hug and welcome the staff on. And that's really just a beautiful thing.